Hi, everybody. Welcome to Power Up. I'm Trisha Hirschberger.
And I'm Lord Garrett. Power Ups is an acronym. It's so cool. It stands for playing, watching, reading. And this is something the Geek Bomb's been doing for a while now because I love finding out what everyone is up to, whether it's video games or an app that you're playing, whether it's shows or a movie that you're watching, or whether it's comics or a book that you're reading. We're here on Trisha's live Twitch channel, which is pretty cool. And if you haven't, give her a sub or a follow, a little bit of love there. But you could also be watching this on Geek Bomb's YouTube. And if you are, thank you so much. Give it a like, give it a follow, give it a sub.
Yes, do all of those things. Today is an extra special episode of Power Up because, as you know, every other week we do a guest episode of the show. And Maude and I are so stinking excited for today's guest. Today's guest is Sam Bunning!
Hello! Thank you for having me. That was a wonderful introduction.
Yay!
How are you? Are you wearing pineapples for me?
Yes, and it's a romper, too. Just wanted to brag about that for a second.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, when you say romper, you mean the is it all in one?
Mm-hmm. Shorts and all.
So when you've got to pee,
mm-hmm.
The whole thing just comes down?
Yep, like a kid going to the bathroom by himself for the first time.
Sam, I need you to model this, please.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you said it's a romper, and then you didn't show us. So
I was a little rude.
All right, so I'm just in a chair right now. So
Careful with that leg, though. We don't want to Twitch terms of service. Very nice.
Oh, yeah, good call. Don't show legs. No feet, no legs. Not going to get you banned.
Very nice. So, Sam, how are you, man? Are you sheltering in place? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with my girlfriend, and we've been sheltering in place since, because I was doing a project with a company, like doing some post-work early March. So basically, I started and immediately started working from home, which was not good for what I was doing. But it's not been so bad. Like, everything's been pretty good. I've been watching a lot of TV, been playing a lot of video games.
Yay. I'm excited to delve into that, because video games are something that you played sometimes. And I would play a lot of, and I'd be like, Sam, we are on SourceFed Nerd. I'm going to need you to play more video games, my man.
Maggie Whitmer.
Yeah, I wanted to play Super Mario Sunshine just one more time and never beat it.
Maggie Whitmer in chat says, Sam is our friend.
Sam is our friend. I got mushrooms on my chicken sandwich.
Get it. Sam, we're talking like everybody knows who you are, because I feel like everybody here should know who you are. But just in case they don't, where would people know you from on the internet, Sam?
You'd probably know me from SourceFed Nerd from way back when, doing videos with all these lovely people here. And also Only Stupid Answers is a nerdy podcast I do with DJ Woldridge. And as of right now, yeah, I'm doing that. Also, if you guys want to, for free, I've been doing this comic book live show every Thursday on my Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter accounts on way too many places. But if you want to join, 1 p.m. PST, I've been reading comics that you can find for free online, baby. Those are the good ones.
Hold on. So when you say comic book club, you choose the comic and then you read it together?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to come and read a comic?
Do you want to give me your Comixology password again?
No. I pick comics that are free to read on Hoopla.
Do you remember when you gave me access to like the Holy Grail? And then I panicked. I changed my password, and I was just like,
Yeah, I gave it to you and like seven other people, and then I paired it to my Amazon account, and I didn't want people buying stuff.
I get it. Using my credit card. Okay, that hurts a little less. That makes sense.
I don't trust you that far, guys.
Oh, so what comics have you covered?
I've talked about DC New Frontier. We did Lock and Key because of the Netflix series. We did...
Clapping for Lock and Key, by the way, not the Netflix series. Continue.
Yeah, same. Sandman, we did volume one, and I had my girlfriend on because she's a really big Neil Gaiman fan? Gaiman?
Yes.
Gaiman?
Gaiman.
Gaiman, yeah. And that's got to be the right one. And I did Giant Days, because that is hands down my favorite comic book of all time. It's a graphic novel from Boombox, and they just signed an overall deal with Netflix to make live-action and animated adaptations of their properties, and I really hope they do that one, because that one kicks all the A. It's a great one.
Okay.
All of the A.
1 p.m. Thursdays.
Sam, did you say which comic book you guys are reading for the next episode of Comic Book Club?
Yeah, someone gave... Well, no, actually, I'm going to announce it on Sunday. And I do pick shorter books. I don't do like a whole series or anything. I just do a smaller one. Well, I'm between two. I want to do Why the Last Man, but...
Sam, we've lost you, my friend. Come back to us.
This is what happens when I try to push for information.
Yes, you push for sensitive information, and Sam's going to pretend he's totally frozen and didn't hear the question so that he doesn't have to answer it. I think that's what's going to happen.
Hey, buddy, you there?
Hey, Sam, are you uploading something else? Is your girlfriend uploading something else?
Are you my friend?
There we go.
Are they mocking my chicken sandwich?
Am I back?
You're back.
Yeah, you're back.
Okay, sorry, gang.
The timing was perfect, though. I'll give you that.
I could hear you guys. I just couldn't do anything about it. Sorry, what was the question?
Tell us what the comic is, damn it!
Oh, my gosh.
I'm between a couple. I want to do Why the Last Man, but the premise is about a virus that kills all men on Earth. It's a little dark, and I'm trying to figure out if I can do a different one. But I do really want to talk about Why the Last Man. It's really good. I might do that or Saga, because every comic book fan always says, you got to read Saga. It's comic book fans, The Wire or Breaking Bad, because everyone's like, well, you got to read that. If you're going to read a comic, you got to read that one first.
Yeah, and I've definitely heard about that. Okay. You're doing comic book club. Your girlfriend's doing a book club. Can you tell us a little bit about that, where people can catch that? Because she's covered Ready Player One recently.
Ooh,
that's a nice shout, by the way. I appreciate it. It's Drunk Poets Society, anywhere you can get your podcast. Taylor, my girlfriend, and her friend Felice just pick a book, and then they create a cocktail based on the book. They create it all themselves, based usually with what they have in their house. They don't go crazy with it.
Tell me more, Sam.
Great. They rate the I went on and I did a Watchmen pod review. That was their first graphic novel, and I made a Dr. Manhattan drink. I made it blue with blue curacao. It was sweet as hell. It was okay. They also rate the cocktails at the end of the episode, and that one got an okay score. It was like drinking cotton candy, but okay. I don't think that's the worst thing. It's
18-year-old mod is like, yes!
Yeah, same. Cotton candy vodka. I definitely don't remember drinking that.
Do you remember when we did the booze test on SourceFed, where it was like we had the most ridiculous liqueurs and we had to try and guess the flavor? Didn't we win?
I think so. I do remember it. I just don't remember if we won. I usually remember when I won.
They kept trying to make us drink. Yeah. But mind you, though, I think our Drunk Riddles videos possibly hit 9 million views.
Yeah, that's still on my resume. It always has a caveat on it because it's like, I mean, it's impressive, but also at the same time, I'm plastered in it. So I don't like it. It doesn't give like a really good, it's not a good representation of how I host, but
but also 9 million views. You know, we weren't allowed to do that in my SourceFed day.
Mm-mm.
In the prior class, we never drank anything. We had none of that. And also, you guys are sharing all these fun memories of SourceFed videos you did together. And the only times I got to interact with Sam as a host were when he was the main host for the Four Human Peoples channel.
Oh, yeah.
What I remember is like, Sam the intern goes to Adult Con with Steve. Like, that was like your big thing. So that's what I remember about getting to host with Sammy Basher, which is very different what Maud remembers.
Yeah, I came out of my shell a little bit, just a tiny bit. And those were dark times, the Four Human Peoples channel. We did some cool stuff, but the show where I found like designs and sold merch and stuff, I don't even know if it's on the channel anymore, to be completely honest. I've never gone to go look for it, and I don't want to watch it. It's not going to make me feel good when I watch it. It's going to be embarrassing.
Oh, none of that made your hosting reel?
Shockingly, I think it maybe was in the quick montage at the end just to have some different backgrounds in there. I don't think it was nothing prominently featured.
Got it.
What are some of your favorite memories of SourceFed, Sam?
I mean, we got to do a lot of really cool, like, any time we got to travel at all, like, if for anything, was always cool. Really, I try to travel as much as I can throughout the year, and so does my girlfriend. I had a bunch of trips planned, which are being reconsidered currently, because that makes sense, and that's a big, big bummer. But anytime we could travel was was always a big plus. Doing videos with either of you guys was always a blast, and doing like table talks, even when they got to the point where we were all tired of them, which was pretty early on.
All the same stories, like twice, because we'd forgotten if we'd said the story.
Yeah,
no. Those got a little tiresome, but I don't know. We always got to at least try something new, and that was always fun. And I definitely miss going to an office to work, because I've now fully burnt out working from home. I'm done with that. No more. I don't want to wear sweatpants the whole time. I want to wear sweatpants in an office.
No, offices have started feeling like prison to me.
That's how I am. I like to work in studios that are elsewhere, but I don't like to work in offices that are elsewhere.
Okay. Sam, what is that Superman curl you got going over your forehead?
Oh, I've been doing this this hair curl smoothie treatment. I'm done. Yeah, I bought it, and it, by the way, it smells delicious. Like, it smells like
it. Does it smell like pineapple stew?
It's like pineapple mango, and I just really want to just try a little bit of it. Don't eat soap.
Dude, you're putting the cool in tropical.
Thank you.
Yeah. It is, and with the dab on the exit, let's move on to a segment we call Blast from the Past. Welcome, Amy.
Yay. Yeah, a lot of stuff happened in April in the past.
All right.
Yeah, so we're going to just go by sections, by power sections, starting off with playing. On April 8th, 2001, do you guys have any guesses what happened?
April, Mario Sunshine.
Close. Dr. Mario, 64. Only because you said Mario.
You say Mario, and I'm immediately like, the original NES game. And then you said 64, and I got a little sad.
Shish, yeah. I played Dr. Mario on the NES. Like, this is when we had to rent the system only during the school holidays and then rent the games.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's what I used to do. But I played that one. And Dr. Mario has some of the best music. Like, hands down, there's like one tune that's just such a, it's a little ditty.
It's good. It's real good. Dr. Mario's a real good time.
What about, what do you think came out April 28th, 1980?
Oof.
You have 5 seconds. Five.
I was born.
Does anyone memorize release dates? Is that like a thing people do?
Some people do, especially for movies.
Movies. Well, it was Game & Watch. Ball was released. So that's the first title in the series. Sam, you're saying, so you're a fan?
I mean, in Smash, I always go for him. And I don't know how to use all his moves. I just like the character a lot.
I have to Google. Who is this?
Yeah, guy? I don't know Game & Watch Ball. Tell me more.
So this
Neil Game & Watch.
Yes.
Wow, that was good.
Title.
Thank you.
That was
That dude, I remember that. Yeah, when I was in after school care, they had those really poor handheld games like Donkey Kong and stuff like that.
Okay. There was like 60 of those video games, and the games were actually released a year before Donkey Kong, which is crazy to think about games before Donkey Kong, at least for me.
He's OG.
Yeah. It was one of the most successful products in the early 80s, so yay, Game & Watch. Okay, moving on to Watch. Watching.
There you go. Nice segue.
I brought it back. Yeah. This is by far some of the most exciting news I think I've ever said. Parks and Rec. I'm going to tie in two things here. Whoa, Maude, I don't think you've seen it based off of your reaction. Okay, so Parks and Rec premiered on April 9th, 2009. They had 7 seasons, 125 episodes from 2009 to 2015. I am a massive fan of Parks and Rec. Lately, something huge happened. So Amy Poehler went on Instagram and said, hey, guys, we're going to have a brand new episode of Parks and Rec. So it's been gone for about 5 years now. Yeah. They're creating a new episode. They're all going to be filming it from their houses separately, of course. It will premiere Thursday, April 30th, so just a few days from now, on NBC. Parks and Rec is teaming up with State Farm to help Feeding America. So it's during this quarantine, which is so exciting because we get to see these characters again.
I'm so excited. I'm a huge fan. Season 1 blows. Season 2 through 6
got it. That's why. Great.
Sam, tell us what you love about it.
Oh, it's it's, you know how The Office got good and it was good, 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 and then it had a very sharp decline and it was just kind of like a slight, it just was like a careening off a cliff near the end. I'll say it, I'll be honest, it was not good near the end. Parks and Rec, it does the opposite. It has a little dip in the beginning, and then the quality only goes up from there. They add in Ben Wyatt, played by Adam Scott, and Chris Traeger, played by Rob Lowe, and immediately the show makes sense. You fully understand who each of the characters are, and the way they're able to play with the dynamics and make local government interesting without it becoming political, which is, it's such a fine line to walk. Mm-hmm. They nail it, though, throughout the entire series. And also the last season is set in the future, but now it's in the past because we passed it. It's great what they try to predict. It's very charming what they try to predict about what happens in the future. And some is a little true.
Okay. Yeah, so, I didn't make it off of the pilot.
Yeah, no, the first season.
I'm putting the nope in Leslie Nope on that one.
No! Sorry. That was really loud. Sorry, podcast listeners.
I haven't really seen it, but I appreciate that you guys love it and you inspire me to want to check it out.
Just skip the first season. Just don't watch it. Okay. Just go right past it.
Sure. Got it.
Something that you should definitely not skip is watching all of the Marvel movies, because 2 years ago, it's been 2 years since Infinity War came out. Came out April 27th.
Wow.
Today, actually, 2 years ago today was the time that I saw it. It was a press screening. It was the morning. I mean, we all remember this. It was the whole Thanos demands your silence, all that jazz. But I just can't believe it's been 2 years, you know?
That's crazy.
I love that one.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that one's a big one. For the day. Yeah. Now, moving on to reading. What book do you think was published on April 10th, 1925?
Mm. 1925. Charles Dickens.
Three, two, nope. The Great Gatsby.
Oh. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I had to cover that in high school. Yeah. And like, I did not put the cool in high school. When you have text and then you have to like draw out the themes and then write a 4-page essay on the themes of the book, I remember writing it going, what if the author, like, we can't even corroborate this with the actual author. They're probably like, I didn't mean that at all, or oops, that was an accident. But here we are doing this dissertation. I always thought that.
Yeah, for a book that's about...
really have it fleshed out.
For a book that's about booze and sex, it should have been a lot more interesting.
Yeah,
yes, amen.
I fully erased that from my brain after reading it, and the same for Grapes of Wrath. Both of those just kind of fizzled out.
Grapes of Wrath was an American curriculum only, and I think we spoke about that in SourceFed because you were like, couldn't believe, I think you made a reference, and I was like, Grapes of Wrath sounds like a really angry wine.
Mm-hmm.
It should be.
There's
got to
be
at least
79 companies with that name. There has to be.
Someone work on
it
that.
It has to be. If there's not, somebody here has to do it, or somebody in chat, do it.
Yeah. Fun little fact with The Great Gatsby. If you guys watching or listening happen to have the rare first edition with its original dust jacket, it has been sold between $100,000 and $150,000. So just keep that in mind.
Everybody call grandma.
Now moving on to the final piece of Blast from the Past, still in reading. This one's a little, it's interesting because I don't think I knew all this information. Shakespeare was born and also died, this sounds weird, in the same month, different years, of course. We don't know when he was actually born. Did you guys know that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we don't. We actually don't know. The exact date of birth is not recorded. Yeah. It is most often celebrated in the world on the 23rd of April. Now, his baptism is recorded on Wednesday, April 26th, 1564. Baptisms typically took place within 3 days of a new birth. Parents were instructed to ensure that their children were baptized no later than the first Sunday after their birth, which means that he was born no earlier than the previous Sunday, the 23rd of April.
Shakespeare was another reason why English class for all of high school was just absolutely awful.
See, now I got a hard disagree with that. When we finally got into Shakespeare, I was like, oh, thank God, something interesting. Shakespeare is like,
oh my God, they'd be like, read a passage and it's like, doth thou art flourish above the knights of yonder.
Oh,
and
get
like,
down with your romantic self, Maud. It's not that bad.
It was the only time we got to dress up in sixth grade. We got to do Julius Caesar, and we got to dress up, and I got to be one of the people that betray Caesar. I just had one of those collapsible knives, and I was like, oh, cool. And like, that's all I remember.
I mean, just take like a big bowl of that iambic pentameter and just chew it up, right? Now, that being said, I was a classical theater major in college, so little disclaimer. And I was like, I'm going to make my living doing Shakespeare on stage. And then I graduated and realized no one pays you to do Shakespeare on stage, ever.
What are you talking about?
You don't make money doing that.
There is a Shakespeare improv group that was probably some of the best improv I've ever seen in my life. They would improv a Shakespeare-esque kind of play on the spot, and they would use iambic pentameter.
I totally know which theater group you're talking about. I have friends that are in it.
Oh my god, are like, they make Shakespeare sassy, and that's
Did you see their Pulp Fiction done as a Shakespeare play? They did the movie Pulp Fiction, but all in iambic pentameter.
Good lord!
If we're thinking of the same theater company, yep.
Does that get you going? Be honest.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, get me going, like. Put me in the mood? No. Get me going like, this is the most beautiful poetry I've ever seen. Yes.
I've never seen it, so I cannot say, but probably.
Also way, in my opinion, it is way more interesting to see Shakespeare performed than it is to read it. It's very, very hard to just read something that's written in iambic pentameter and, you know, with that kind of old English language and comprehend it from reading it. Whereas when you have an actor with props and a setting who is emoting and they're very clear on the intention of what they're saying, it is way easier to understand what they're saying.
Absolutely agree. Yes. I just don't, again, I don't want to analyze.
Mm-hmm. You just want to enjoy it.
There it is.
It's like when you go see opera, you know, you don't really know what they're singing, but you get the gist of what they're singing because of the emotion.
Oh, thank God. Thank God you said that, because I've never understood it. I've only seen one in person, and then the Bugs Bunny cartoon like 30 times. But like, you just get the gist of it. You have the costumes, the lightning, someone died, and then they're upset about it. But they're screaming in the same cadence when they're sad or angry. But you get it. You understand the tone.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Awesome. Well, Amy, thank you so much for Blast from the Past. That was really fun.
We're going to get back into PWR, playing, watching, reading, playing and being first, so don't go anywhere, because Sam Basher, our guest for today's episode, will be delving into what he's currently playing.
Okay, perfect. So now that we have a little bit of a break, I want to say a huge shout out and thank you to Emma Fife, who rated us 4 minutes ago with a party of 43 viewers. Thank you, Emma! Thank you, and welcome to Emma's community. If you're here, we are currently doing the Power Up show, which is available as a podcast. It's available on Geek Bomb's YouTube channel, and of course, it's live streamed right here on my Twitch channel every Friday. Welcome. The PWR and Power Up stands for playing, watching, and reading. And today we have special guest Sam Basher on screen. So stick around, give a follow, hang out. And don't worry, guys, we will have a Q&A section of today's stream. So we are not ignoring live chat. We love you, and thank you so much for being here. Yeah. The Cat Ninja says, commercial break? Yeah, kind of. In this moment, because I do have my Twitch alerts that normally go off every time someone follows or subs or does something lovely like raids, I normally have those going off during the show. But since we're not doing that for the purposes of the VOD that will be on YouTube and the podcast, let me go ahead and give a quick shout out to Buster2460, who resubbed for 3 months. Thank you so much. STS2884, thank you for the resub. You are now 9 months as a Dragon Rider and super happy to see the Power Up podcast. Best day ever. Yay. Sage4, thank you so much for gifting 3 subs on the channel. You're a rock star. Welcome to the new Dragon Riders here. And for the following follows, see, get what I did there? Shibosan, at the Got 31, Not Wade 11, Num Num Num, and Chasington Bear. And also, I want to throw out a huge thank you to Cleric1372, who resubbed using Twitch Prime. If you have an Amazon Prime account lying around, it gives you a free sub to any channel of your choosing if you're not using yours. I ask if you would like to consider using it here. The Dragon Riders are a lovely people. Wand Shrank, thank you for the follow as well. So thank you everybody for being here. And as we move forward with the next section of the show, keep in mind that all shout outs will be held till the end of that segment. Just again, so it doesn't mess up the podcast or the VOD. Sam Mod, anything for the commercial break?
Someone called it an Ambi Pambi or something, and Pambi Tambi, and I'm about it. And before, when we were reminiscing about SourceFed, like the feed was just, is it bees?
Oh, wait, I don't understand the reference. What could that possibly mean? I still get that.
Maybe because you were sold wrong.
Possibly. Who's to say? That is crazy that I don't remember that, but I do know it from the video. My memory isn't of the moment of saying it.
Because they didn't actually show how we got that train of thought, because they had to edit down sort of like a half hour.
They did. So he was so good at cutting out all the garbling and the.
But out of nowhere, I was like, "Is it porn?" And it's like, "How did you get there? Is it bees?" And you're like, oh. But it made actual anyway.
If you guys don't know, Star by Heart, thank you for the sub.
Ah, cute.
Okay, are we ready?
Yeah.
Mod, let's take it into playing. Here we go.
Sweet. Yes, hello, welcome to Power Up. This is a show where we talk about what you're playing, watching, reading, and every other week we have a guest on board. Trisha's joining me again because this is our show, but the guest we've got on, SourceFed alum, he's a legend, Sam Basher. Sup, Sambo?
Hello.
We had a quick Q&A with you. If you want to check that video, it's already happened. If you're watching live, you've already heard it, legit. But I want to chat with you about what you're currently playing. Because you didn't usually play too many video games, but now in quarantine, you're a little gamer girl.
I already ordered a hat that says gamer, and that's the only way that people can tell if I am a real gamer.
You gotta put on your Gunners and drink your G Fuel.
There we go. My brain fully pooped out on me. I couldn't think of what that was called. I'm just drinking G Fuel constantly. That's the only way I can get through this quarantine.
So,
it's kind of amino acids.
Sammy Basher, what are you playing?
I am playing currently. Now, this might come to a shock because I haven't heard anyone else talking about this, but I've started checking out a little indie game called Animal Crossing New Horizon. And boy, howdy, if this had in-app purchases, I would have dumped a lot of money into it to get new things. But I'm glad it doesn't because this game's wonderful. It is such a treat to play it. Just like 2 to 3 hours a day.
Yeah, I like that. I do that as well. I have it like first thing in the morning and as I go to bed at night just to kind of unwind. It's almost meditative in that state. Have you played any Animal Crossings before though?
Yeah, I played the original on GameCube because my older brother got it. And whenever he was not home, I would sneak in and go play. But then I would be like, oh, I don't like this. So I'd reset it. And then Mr. Rossetti would pop up and he would yell. I'm like, oh, I want him to go away. So I'd do it again. And then he'd pop up again. I was like, oh, this is the thing. And then I never played it again. He would be mad at me for doing that. He's like, no, that's just how I'm going to turn off this game system. He's got to deal with it.
Oh, I had no idea what you're talking about.
Sam,
now I do.
Can you tell us about your island? I want to know what Sam Basher's island is like in Animal Crossing.
Picture this.
You pull up. You're lost at sea. Oh, no. Am I ever going to find civilization once again? But, on the horizon, is that utopia? Is that heaven itself? Is that Shangri-La? No. It's Rum Tum Tug, because it wouldn't let me write Rum Tum Tugger all the way across. It is a wonderful utopia of poorly laid out buildings, lots of trees, lots of stumps of trees, because I haven't cleaned those up yet. So there's bugs everywhere. There's a lot of locusts. But if you head northwest, you're going to find the sweetest little flower garden with a rope swing, and you got a telescope and a big fire pit and a hammock with a record player going, playing sweet tunes 24/7, and now a 4-bedroom house. Boy, howdy, that place is the creme de la creme. It is like the Taj Mahal back there. It is a wonderful place with very mismatching furniture because I'm going to be honest, big problem. The Wi-Fi I have at my house really restricts online play. I can download a game and update stuff, but I can't visit anyone's islands, and it's driving me up the wall, and I can't.
I was like, oh, cool. I didn't want an invite anyway.
No, I haven't gone to anyone's islands, and everyone's mad at me, but I want to go to people's islands because I can't get peaches. I can't get other fruits. I want other people's furniture, and I want to sell my turnips at more than 120 bells a turnip or whatever the conversion rate is. I've never gotten like a crazy big turnip or turnaround on turnips, and it blows. but the game's great.
You broke up a little bit. Tell us again why you can't visit other people's islands.
There's something, well, that's a good question with the breakup. My internet sucks. It's got a, there's a firewall that it, that blocks me from going to, I guess it's interacting with other devices or messaging, because I can download games, no problem, and update them, but I can't connect to other people's devices and I can't figure out why. And when we play Jackbox here, there's always like a firewall thing we have to do so we can get our phones to connect to the computer. So I'm not sure what that is. And I'm not tech savvy enough to figure that out.
Sammy Basher, but, do you know what your upload speed is, baby?
Oh, it's probably not good. I did test it like 2 weeks ago and it was not impressive.
Okay, Zelda.
I didn't look down. Hi, Zelda.
Zelda's making an appearance on the show now. For those of you who are listening to this, Zelda is Maude's dog.
He's a good dog. Long dog.
So Zelda used to come into the SourceFed offices, and it was all good and great, and then everyone else started bringing their dogs into the SourceFed office, and then all the other dogs started peeing and pooping, and then no dogs could go into the office.
A lot of pee. A lot of pee in the carpet. A lot of pee in the carpet that didn't get cleaned.
I'm so glad that didn't happen when I was there. That would make me so uncomfortable.
The idea
is
great.
Zelda's so cute. She just chill.
Zelda is chill. I have been cool around Zelda. I'm very awkward around dogs. For those of you who are like, what is Trisha talking about? Trisha's very awkward around dogs.
What happened?
Oh, nothing actually happened. It was actually, for a while on SourceFed, people were like, Trisha hates dogs, don't you know? And I'm like, that's very strong. I don't, like, wish ill to any dogs. I think they're lovely beings. I hope that they can exist in peace. I just don't necessarily want them existing near or around me. But people think it is my failure as, like, internet girl that I don't... that I'm not a dog lover. But it's more
quite a few people. Like,
I'm awkward around dogs. But a lot of my friends love dogs and are awkward around babies. So you know what? It takes...
Well,
it
that's
takes,
me!
Right. It takes two types to make the world go round. So so I am the type that loves babies and is awkward around dogs. So it's okay.
My God, people hand me their baby and I'm like, I'll break it.
No, I'm great around both. Like, I'm not good around regular people. I'm great around babies because you don't really need to talk about anything, and dogs because, again, you don't really need to talk about anything.
Good point.
You talk about anything.
I did recently teach my friend's 2-year-old how to tap out in like a wrestling move. So I was like,
that's pretty cool. That's an important thing to learn at a young age.
Yes. Yeah. That's basically like consent. I no longer. I am not enjoying this. Well,
wait,
there you
go. Does that mean you laid out a 2-year-old? Like, you fully just, you incapacitated a 2-year-old and you needed to teach a 2-year-old how to, without speaking, tell you to stop.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Well, Kim, anytime you want to come over and teach Logan that, you're welcome to, Maude. Sam, I play a lot of video games, and this came out right at the time that I was really trying to finish up Ori and the Will of the Wisps before Final Fantasy VII Remake came out. So
great,
I finished Ori and the Will of the Wisps and then jumped right into Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I have not played Animal Crossing. Not at all. So if you had to give me, like, your pitch to convince me to drop everything else and play Animal Crossing, what would it be?
Okay. I feel like I tried this recently and I really botched it, so let me try to refine it. I think currently it's really helpful because it feels like a breath of fresh air. It is full wish fulfillment in the sense that it's not like you getting to have the powers of Spider-Man or having these like kick-ass sword fighting abilities. It's literally fulfilling the fantasies of things that we currently cannot do because of self-isolation. It's letting you become a homeowner. It's allowing you to pay off debt and go to the beach and make friends and talk to people within 6 feet. Yeah, you can get real close to different types of animal people. You can go farming. You can go sailing. You can go flying. You could
sailing and flying.
Yeah, I mean, you get on a boat and then there's a transition screen, but it counts.
Oh, I see. And then flying.
Yeah.
All right. He's like really building up this game more than it is. The more I play this game, the more I realize that all you're doing is you're indentured. Like, you're just constantly paying. You're doing all the work. I am so sick of blathers, the owl. all you're doing is collecting things, and you have donated 100% of the items and things in the museum for it to be a museum. And then they're still a little bit, you know, like attitude-y towards you. And then Tom Nook is just like, oh, by the way, I won't do it, but can you pay me money so that you can get new people onto this island? And I'm like, in real life, I would not stand for Nook's shit. Like, it is getting ridiculous. And if I'm going to spend 1,800 bells on a blender, I can't use the blender.
I can't put it. It looks so cool. It looks great. It's just aesthetics.
I don't. Yeah. If I'm going to work hard, I want whatever I'm purchasing to work. I want it to, like in Sims, if you spend enough money, you buy a better bed, which means you sleep better. You can buy a coffee machine, which means you get more energy. You know,
I love Sims. Shout out to Sims.
Honestly, I would recommend playing Sims over Animal Crossing, just because unless you're a designer or a type A, Animal Crossing can get frustrating. Like, my island is awful, and I don't know how to design. I have a swamp for a floor all of a sudden, and it's just like...
Now, let me just remind everybody listening that right now it sounds like Maud really doesn't like this game. She did say that she plays this for like 2 to 3 hours a day in the morning and at night to relax. So putting that disclaimer on it.
Now I'm getting like angry playing it.
And I just to counter, you're absolutely right. I totally agree fully. But also, you're wrong, because it makes me feel good in my heart, in my soul, in my mind. And I keep trying to explain it to people who don't game, and I sound like an insane person. Sims, though, everyone gets that. Everyone understands it. Animal Crossing, it's surprising how many people play it.
All right, so now we're going to move into the Bombs Away Q&A portion of the show. Welcome back, Amy. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me again. So we're also getting questions from Twitch. So if you're watching this right now on Twitch, make sure that you leave the questions down below where you're watching. So this one is actually from Patreon. One of our geek bombers, Nathan Swap, asks, what advice would you give your 18-year-old selves before starting this line of work?
Oof. People online are mean.
People online are mean, but I've always felt like I was bullied so much throughout school that nothing people can say online to me will even come close to what people have said to my face. So that doesn't matter.
How do I hug you through the computer?
Good. Thank you. I will gladly accept your virtual hugs. I would tell myself, be unabashedly you, because that's what's going to make you unique and stand out.
Oh, I got it. Don't have fame as the goal. And I never did, but I've noticed this with other people, that just to be famous was the goal, and it didn't matter how it happened. And like that notoriety or having followers, like followers were so important because fame was the important part. It's not. Just be good at your job. Like, want to be really good at what you do. Mm. And if the outcome is success, that's fantastic. But like, I'm such an advocate for building a skill set and for learning and applying it, instead of just like, put a phone on me and I'll just be weird and crazy and then maybe everyone will know who I am. It's like, yeah, I think that there's just a lot of people out there who aren't the best role models, I guess. And it's just important to invest in skills.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Sam, are you with us?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can. You just froze there for a second, but you're a potato, but you're back.
There we go. Perfect. Okay, that's where I thrive, baby. But I'd say that for me, I was, shocker, very quiet as a child. And I still have problems with anxiety. So I tell 18-year-old Sam, cool it. Just really genuinely take a second, take a breath, and know that the problems that you think are important right now aren't as important as you think. Don't invalidate how you feel. Feel what you need to feel and then let it go. That's the biggest thing. Make sure you can feel all the feelings that you have. Make sure you know that they're valid, but let them go. And so you can move on and be happy and less anxious.
I like that.
I like that too. So this is a question from Star by Heart over on our Twitch right now. What song is helping you through quarantine?
Ooh.
Good question. Is everyone
I got
else
one.
Is everyone else opening up their Spotify right now?
Yes, I am, and I had it first top of the list. Shout out to Darren Gerdner, because he just had a song come out called Feel the Heat, and that's been a really solid
morning routine to listen to that song because he's got some strings, he's got some positive attitudes, solid beats, solid lyrics. Highly recommend it.
Yay, Darren.
Gotta plug him.
I have found a playlist on Spotify called Acoustic Spring, and every time I listen to it, I'm like, man, how good's folk music?
Oh, best.
Isn't that good?
Oh, yeah. Oh man, my song to get through quarantine right now is Chumbawamba. I get knocked down, but I get up again, because every day right now is a struggle.
For sure.
It is. I mean,
just come back in. Just pull it back in again. I'll just
yeah, every day right now, as soon as like little man goes to bed, I pour myself a healthy beverage and pass the hell out.
Shish, have we ever been really, really drunk together?
Definitely not. I wish that we had. I think we've both been slightly drunk together, but I don't think we've ever been really drunk together.
That needs to happen. And Sam, have you and I ever been really drunk together without a camera in our face?
I was just thinking about that. I'm like, we've definitely been drunk in front of each other a lot. Like, and like drunk.
I actually, in hindsight, I think it was pretty irresponsible to feed us with that much booze for over that long for the finale.
Did they
8 hours.
Tell me they at least covered your Ubers home.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But like, I would put back, what was I even drinking? I can't even remember what I was drinking, but I drank a lot.
Mm-hmm. They did.
I couldn't remember half of it, so that's not a good sign.
The closest thing I ever did with that, Joe Beretta helped me film a pilot that I made for Escapist that was kind of like the Drunken Book Club, but for video games. So we'd make a custom cocktail for the game, and then the premise of the show was beat the game or pass out trying. And every time you died, you had to drink. And so it was me and Joe Beretta. We live streamed filming the pilot, and we both got so drunk. Like, at one point, Joe was like, I have to take a break to use the bathroom. And he came back and whispered in my ear, I just threw up. And like, anyway, we got an Uber. I paid the DP to drive us home as well. And then the next day, Joe like came over to my desk because we were both had desks at Defy Media. This is how long ago that was. Joe came over to my desk and was like, I'm a parent. I don't think we should have that on the internet. Can we take that down? I'm like, at some point I'll do like a blooper highlight cut and release it to the world. But unless you were there for that live stream on this Twitch channel like 6 years ago, no one saw that.
By the way, shout out to STS2884 who said SourceFed is how I found out about Fireball.
The absolute worst. And when I visited Europe, there was people were like, that costs like $80 for like a small container of Fireball. I'm like, are you serious? Oof. It's like a cleaning product here. It's what they use to make gum taste like cinnamon. It's the best. It's the worst. I mean, not the
it's
best.
The best, it's worst. Yeah.
You know, it's really good in eggnog. It's good in eggnog.
That actually sounds pretty good.
It's good in butterbeer.
Ooh. Yeah. Now we got Amy in on it.
I love butterbeer.
It's sickeningly sweet, but oh my gosh, yeah. If you guys just want to put an Aussie spin on a drink, which is a little doop doop, yeah, that's how you do that one. I was gonna bring up the time, Sam, where Fungeons, when we used to do three in a row with drinking ones and twenties, we got obliterated. But
awful.
Drunk Sam's the best, because we had an Uber as well. We weren't driving with that, but Drunk Sam, you're still learning languages. He would rattle off sentences in about five different languages to be like, oh, now I'll speak Spanish. Oh, now I'll speak French. And I was like, yeah, Drunk Sam, you rock.
Oof, another night that I only have little blips of memory, and I will not be watching that episode to fill in the gaps. I don't need to know.
Drunk Sam is very cultured. That's what everybody should know about Drunk Sam. All right, Sam, thank you, and thank you to everybody on the Geek Bomb Patreon and here in the Twitch chat who gave us questions for Bombs Away. Don't worry, we'll have Bombs Away at the end of the playing, the watching, and the reading segments, so hold on to your questions. But that's been it for playing. Thanks again to Sam Basher for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Alrighty, watching. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, so before we jump into watching, we have, let's see, we've got Zrakken75 gifted 10 subs to the community.
What?
Zrakken75, thank you so very much for your generosity. Welcome to all the new Dragon Riders. You're amazing. Bibs201, thank you for the follow. BowXC127, thank you for the 100 bits. Thank you for the bits. Before we start the watching segment, I just real quick see like want to change something around right here.
I'm seeing 100 bits popping up too.
Yes, 100 bits from David Backward Dab. Is Backward Dab just the other direction? Or they? Those are both dabs, right?
You gotta do it behind your back. Okay. It's really hard to do.
Right.
There you go. Okay. Exactly.
Got it. Thank you so much, guys. All right, Mod, should we bring it in for watching?
Yeah, let's do it.
Take it away.
We are up to the W part of Power Up. W stands for watching. Shish and I have a guest on today who's going to discuss his watching, Sam Basher.
Yay.
I got to ask the question, what you watching?
What you watching?
Oh, I'm watching the best show on TV right now. I was surprised it even came out because all these shows are being pulled or being pushed because of the quarantine and no one being able to go and shoot. But the show was finished before everything shut down. So I'm very happy to watch it because it's a bright light in these dark times. It is What We Do in the Shadows Season 2 on FX. And now it's on FX on Hulu. So the next day it's up finally because all of FX's content is some of the best TV shows or some of the best TV out there. And it's so hard to find it. So now I'm glad that everyone can watch this show because it's amazing. Season 1 aired last year and it was the brainchild of Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi. The show was mainly Jermaine. The first season was stellar. Has some of my favorite episodes of TV period in that season, and season 2's been even stronger, and there's 3 episodes out right now as of the live stream of this, and they're all great. They're all fantastic.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited that this is what you brought in as you're watching, and I will tell you that because from the second I heard they were making a What We Do in the Shadows TV show, I wanted to watch it. And then I was like, oh, it's on FX, and I'm a cord cutter, so I do not have this. I also don't pay for Hulu because I feel like between Disney Plus and Netflix and Amazon Prime and HBO Now, I have so much TV, I don't know what to do with myself. So I have not seen this yet. Do you think this is worth getting Hulu just for this?
Yes, easy. That was no brainer. I will say, do you get HBO Now or do you have like HBO as an extension to Amazon? You ever done that?
I have HBO Now as like a separate app.
Yeah,
because you can get HBO attached to Hulu, which is what we do, and because I split it with with Hulu. You can do it with Hulu too. You can do it with Hulu and Amazon. So we watch Hulu. We watch HBO shows through Hulu, and it's been well worth the price. And yeah, I highly recommend getting Hulu specifically for this show and all of FX's content.
Because FX is doing a lot of anime now, right?
Oh, they're doing so much. A lot of their original content's great. And also, again, FX is just, they got Archer. They got a lot of.
Oh, Archer's real good. Archer's real funny. All right. Star by Heart in chat says, what is it about?
Ooh.
Tell us, Sam.
Oh, okay. So it's the TV show is based off of a 2014 movie directed by Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement about 3 vampires from 3 different eras who are all flatmates in New Zealand in Wellington, and it is just a documentary crew or documentary crew following them in their life, and it's all leading up to a masquerade of the undead, which is a big gathering once a year in Wellington for different undead creatures like zombies and vampires. And it's just following the daily life of these vampires and a newly turned vampire as well, having to learn what it means to be a vampire. And also, it's just chock full of like New Zealand comedy, which is kind of like similar to like dry Australian or English comedy. It's the best.
I love it. It was the best part of Thor 3 as well.
It's the best. And actually last night I got to show my family, we all watched it together over Zoom. We got to watch the movie for the first time because they had never seen it and they all loved it. They loved it. And it made me so happy that they loved it. I was so nervous because that dry humor is like 50-50 sometimes with some people. But the show follows.
We're not werewolves. We're werewolves.
And it's Riz Darby. He's the best. He's so funny. And but the show follows 3 different vampires on Staten Island, and they have the goal of from their vampire overlord to take over the new world, but they were supposed to do that when America was founded, and they've just been kind of like farfling around for centuries. They haven't been doing it, so now they're just trying to figure out how to do that exactly, and they're all out of touch. And they have a familiar who lives in the house with them, a human who wants to become a vampire, and he's one of the best characters on the TV show. I highly recommend it, and season two has only become more creative with the ways they play with supernatural story elements and also like vampire lore. Very cool. Mm-hmm. There is a Babadook that does show up in the first season, and
that's amazing.
His joke is that he's a badabook, a bada bing bada book, and then he disappears and he's never in the show again. But he is one of my favorite characters.
So Maude, you've seen the movie, but you have not seen the TV show. Is that correct?
I've seen the first two or three episodes of the show, because they're so quick. Like without the ads in there, they were like what, like 22 minutes. It's just like a little zippy show. My friend Jake McDormand's in it, so I kind of watched it to kind of, and I skipped ahead to his episodes. Just to see how that was. But I found myself missing Jermaine and Taika big time, because like their characters were so that adjustment was a little bit for me. But you're right. Who's the human servant? Is it
Guillermo?
Are there like any carryover characters from the film?
I will say there is, for reasons. All these vampires go on trial, and then vampires from all over the world hold a like court hearing against them. And they not only get cameos from the movie, they also get very big cameos from basically every vampire movie or TV show of all time. Everyone starts appearing, you're like, what?
I will buy Hulu for a year just for that scene.
Yes.
It's so good.
I mean, if you're telling me, like,
so good.
Spike and Angel are going to show up. And, like, if we go into the Buffyverse at all, if we go into Interview with a Vampire at all, I can leave Twilight. But any other vampire lore, if it happens, then don't spoil it for me. But now I'm super stoked.
They do get a reference in the show, which is very funny.
Can I just say as well that there is a rumor circulating that Mark Hamill is confirmed to guest and cameo in season two? Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that.
That's super cool.
What we do in the shadows. All right, guys, watch it on FX on Hulu.
Yay.
So good.
Sweet. Thank you so much for telling us what you're watching.
Yeah. Oh, cool. And now
next.
No, let's move into Bombs Away Q&A. Bring it back, Amy.
Now.
Yay. Yeah, I'm back. So we will be taking your questions over on Twitch. Have my iPad ready to go as soon as it decides to get it together. But in the meantime, I'm reading a question from one of our Geek Bombers over on Patreon. This one's from Ollie Morrison. If you're ever feeling down or a bit stressed, what's your happy place film, show, or game you put on to cheer you up?
Ooh.
Sam, tell us.
That's kind of a couple, but I will give a shout. I have the game. It's on the Switch. It's on the store, so I'm going to guess it's probably on the Steam game store as well. But it is called... Wide Ocean Big Jacket. I had to look that up really quick. Wide Ocean Big Jacket, and it will take you 30 minutes to play. It is one of the shortest games. It's like $5. It's just these two kids who are like, they're like 11 years old, like 13 years old. They've never dated anyone else before. They're the first relationship they've ever had. They go on a camping trip with the girl's aunt and uncle, and they just talk about like what it means to grow up, and then you put together the campsite and you go to the ocean and you watch the sun go down and you just get to like learn life. And the whole interface for the game is really soothing and the soundtrack's pretty beautiful. I think it was all put together by only two people. And you can kind of see that care and thoughtfulness put into the gameplay. It is not the most dynamic, but it does make my heart feel good.
I like that.
Yes. So yes. I have too many of these, but I'll just say the one that I think it was just announced that it's coming to Disney Plus, The Princess Bride.
Oh, yes.
Let me double check that that's true. But I think
that's true. Oh, it is. Because Carrie Ellis and Robin Wright did a video saying that it was going to come out May 1st.
Yep.
Princess Bride is my favorite movie of all time. Sam Bash, I had never seen it until two and a half years ago. And I made him watch The Princess Bride in a live stream watch through, which was unbearable, basically, because I say all the dialogue as it's happening. And I also dressed up as Buttercup from the Fire Swamp.
You're a great Buttercup. Can you cosplay Buttercup every convention that you go to from now on?
Yes. I need to get an ROUS. Didn't we have the giant, was like rat?
The ROUS, yes. Someone sent it when back in my SourceFed days, and then it became part of the SourceFed Nerd set.
Where is that? I need that ROUS.
I don't know what happened to most of that set, to be
perfectly fair. All right, chat, you know what to do. If you can find the ROUS and figure out who's got it, where it is, let me know.
It might have gotten auctioned off. Didn't they auction off a lot of stuff?
I don't know about any of the set stuff, but yeah, some stuff did get auctioned off near the end. But hopefully someone got it. Hopefully someone took it home.
Yes, the ROUS. And let's see, I'm looking for Sprinkles the Dragon Cat in Twitch says, question, what is your dream show, book, or game? You mean like to make or? Because we just answered our Happy Place.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so was that yours, Mon?
Oh, my Happy Place, 100% Princess Bride. Yeah. Same. Wow. Harry Potter as well. I like reading books. Oh, it just fills me with magic. Yeah.
Taylor, my girlfriend, she got the full set of the books for Christmas. So she's working her way through it. But because of her book club, she has to take breaks and read other things. But she's in, and we've been watching the movies once she's finished reading them to kind of compare them. So she's almost done with four. Then we're going to watch four soon. And I'm super excited because I remember that being my favorite of the movies. So.
Oh, really? Interesting. When I was 15 years old, we had 2 weeks winter holidays, and I read four books in 7 days.
Oh my God, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sprinkles the Dragon Cat says yes to make. Five? So favorite.
Oh, to favorite to make.
Favorite like show, book, or game.
I would. Let's see.
To make. I'm not making anything. What?
Well, I guess if we could, like, make something up that doesn't currently exist as a game, book, or show.
I feel like there's no book or property that hasn't been sort of, like, done. What was it? I think it was after Harry Potter when they realized that, like, a book property could make Warner Brothers billions and billions of dollars. They started, like, going through everything and snapping up properties.
A really good Harry Potter video game would be nice. And I don't mean, like, the Lego Harry Potter games. And I don't... mean Wizards Unite, but like a Shadow of War, like what Shadow of War is to the Lord of the Rings. Get us like a good Harry Potter game. Now, of course, I'm saying that as a 30 something Harry Potter fan. I understand the reason the Lego Harry Potter games were made and are as popular as they are is because traditionally people think of Harry Potter as children's literature, although it gets pretty dark there in the final books. So give something for the older Harry Potter gamer fan. That's what I would say.
That scene in Final Fantasy with the shadow monster things, that they look like Dementors. I could totally see a game like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if they did, like, I know the Avengers game is coming out from, I forgot the developers, but Sony's like kind of like working on it and putting it out.
Square Enix is one.
Is that who's doing it?
They're doing the, what's it called? Avengers Marvels Unite or something like that. It's the big one. They were showing it at E3 last year.
Okay, cool, cool. Yeah, no, I wouldn't mind something with that. Like, that storytelling seems pretty dark and serious, but if they upped the scale and did it for, like, the DC Expanded Universe or the Marvel Expanded Universe, like, get, like, the Fantastic Four in there or get, like, the X-Men in there as well. Like, do something, like, as big as Endgame. I would be very on board with spending a lot of money to play that game.
Okay.
Awesome. I love it. Amy, well, thank you so much for farming the questions from chat. Thank you to everyone in chat who gave some questions and everyone on the Geek Bomb Patreon who gave some questions. You guys are awesome. Amy and Sam, we will see you in a bit on the next segment. All right, guys?
Yay! Sounds good.
All right, Maude, what's coming up next?
Well, we are going to be doing reading, and reading covers books, and it also covers comics. Our next guest, obviously, knows a lot about comics, having his own comic book club, so stick around to find out what Sam Basher is reading.
See you soon.
That's it, yeah.
That's it. Okay, so, thank you, everybody in chat. Who else do we have? I saw Luther2 cheered with 200 more bits right after I stopped talking. actually, no, wait, these are... Even more than that. Let me see. Yes. Okay. So Luther 2, thank you for the 300 bits, the 100 bits, and then the 200 bits. You're amazing. YayJ87, thank you for the follow. Fumble Noob, thank you for the follow. And Be Back Whenever, thank you as well for the follow. You guys are awesome. Let me go ahead and swap this out so that we're ready to go for the next segment.
Reading.
Yes. Okay, I think we're good. Thank you, everybody in Twitch chat. It's so funny for me not to talk to Twitch chat the whole time, but know that I'm reading you.
I've been sneaking in comments, actually, just like, really? So,
know that I'm reading you. You're amazing, and I love you. All right, Maude, want to bring us into reading?
Sure do. It is power-up time. We've done P, we've done R. Make sure you've been watching those if your life's up. Now it's time for reading. Trisha and I last week spoke about what we're reading, and we've been getting really, really into The Hobbit, not only for Tolkien Day or for Nerdist's Book Club, but it's now time to talk about what Sam Basher is reading. So, Sammy.
Hello.
No, you don't like Sammy. You don't like Sammy. You like.
You can give it out. You can go ahead. I've loosened up on it.
I always really? Think of Sammy from that? The... What do you do with a Sammy Basher?
Sammy.
Uh-huh. That's why I always think that from that. That's I would never just though. Call you Sammy, though. It would have to be Sammy Basher.
I'm Australian.
Yeah, it's going to be the right time. Like, people from New York who have a strong New York accent calling me like, Sammy. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. That's the coolest cool. version of that. I wouldn't mind that one.
So, Sam, what you reading?
Okay, so... I fell in love with this book basically from the first page that I read. I currently am working on, with quarantine, I've been trying to be creative, but it's been hard, but I've been chugging away at some original content that I've been creating. And to help me, I, based on a lot of suggestions online, I picked up Scott McCloud's Understanding Comics. Now, have either of you guys read that book?
No.
Oh, I hadn't even heard of it until you said this is what you were reading.
Yeah, it's a full dissection of what comics are and can be and what they were prior to it, like 1993 is when the book was published, but it's even more pertinent now. And it's a full examination of the written word, of illustrations, and just art in general. And throughout the book, it asks you and challenges you to examine what you can do with the medium, not just comic books, but also in literature, like the way you can explore different types of storytelling and what comics can mean for the reader in a different sense than what a normal novel can do. Because of course, the benefits of reading just a written word novel is that you get the reader has their full imagination at play. But with a graphic novel, it allows the artist and the writer to kind of dictate what they're trying to show you. In some ways, people have called it like re-watching the storyboards for a movie that's not finished, you know, but there is even more love and care that is put into some graphic novels. And I think that, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes you're like, why'd they adapt that book into a movie? They're doing it all wrong. Personally, I felt that way with Lock and Key. And I feel that way with some comic books where it's like you're missing the point of what he's trying to say, and sometimes that lesson can only be taught in comics. And why is that? So this book fully explores why comics are the perfect medium for certain types of stories and how to develop those stories yourself. So if you... just anything, because he examines the evolution of Japanese manga and how it evolved separately from European comics as well as American comics. Because European comics are also like, what was the recent Valerian, The City of a Thousand Planets, like the evolution of that, as well as like, Calvin and Hobbes, or the Peanuts, you know, like the funnies you'd find in the newspaper. The way that like, yeah, there are simpler jokes and some of them are purely for comedic effect, but also the way that word bubbles can be placed and the way that store or the pictures can tell more than the words and the way that you can be more subtle but also fully get across the emotional impact of certain scenes. This book explores it, and also just to kind of give it outside of my ringing endorsement of this novel, on the back, Neil Gaiman, Alan Moore, who wrote Watchmen, Art Spiegelman, who did Mouse, and I'm blanking. Somebody else. They all give it the ringing endorsements on the back.
Yeah, Neil Gaiman says it's a must read. And Garth McMurray in chat says, I'm a comic artist and this book is a must read. So, and also Garth McMurray endorses it.
It's so sweet, and it also kind of explores why, like, why do people connect more with cartoons and remember cartoons more than hyper-realistic faces? And it's like, I kind of always found myself, like, he kind of, throughout the book, shows you different ways people can latch themselves onto characters, even though they are drawn in the book. Like, in a regular novel like Harry Potter, the reader can see themselves as the character at times, but in a comic book, they kind of show you the different ways of designing the world and the people that inhabit that world so that the reader can relate with them more. Or if you don't want them to and you want it to be more informative, you can change it. And that doesn't mean that there's definitive art styles for each of those. There's just different tools you can utilize throughout your storytelling process and how to work with an artist in a way that actually like becomes a duo-produced product and not just a writer handing off a script for an artist to bring to life in their vision. It's a way that multiple people can come together and create something truly special and their own. Like the way a movie isn't made with just a director. A movie's made with thousands of people. Or even on small crews, it's like 15 people. But like this shows how two to four people can tell the story that they want to tell in the most effective way possible. And it does actually have it's not a narrative, but there is an emotional side to the book when you can see how much comics mean to Scott McCloud and even people who do enjoy the medium. And when you can see the way he explores the infinity of the genre, I got emotional reading it. And I'm getting emotional talking about it because I reread it twice, and I'm actually picking up, I ordered one of his other books. I think it's Making Comics, and that's coming on Tuesday, and I can't wait to dive into that too, because he has one of the best understandings of what people can do with the genre while also saying there's even more that he doesn't know, while conceding that he doesn't know everything. But at the same time, you're like, that's insane, dude. You've done the research you've done on this book is mind-boggling.
This is crazy. Sam, you tearing up talking about it is putting it on my must-read list, so thank you for that ringing endorsement. You know, I don't know if I can trust Neil Gaiman. I know that I can trust Sam Basher. Is also, when you talk about the research that went into this, I did a little digging on it before the stream. And did you know this is used as a textbook in a lot of schools?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It is. And it's also, just as another ringing endorsement, it's really short to read. I'm a big fan of books that can get through quickly. And it was kind of sweet, too, that the book is a graphic novel. The way that you read it is a graphic novel, because he's trying to show you, he's trying to put his money where his mouth is. Like, he's trying to teach you about the medium within the medium itself. And I like that is used as textbook, so it can teach these new students, like, no, this is what is possible.
He's showing and telling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Hey, Sam, are you making a comic?
I'm working on something right now, and I've been working with some artists to develop it. And it's really nerve-wracking. It's really, it makes me really nervous, because it's hard and it's expensive.
Yeah. Do you remember you had that dream one day and you came in and you're like, I just had the best dream ever, and it would be the best premise for a comic book, and you like started writing it down? Is this that?
No. I did try, but not that. I'm actually working with the only thing I'll say for what this is, because I have another person working with me, is that there is music involved, and it makes it sound really confusing, but I don't want to say more, because once it's finished, I think it will be something really special. At most, it'll be special for me. So we'll see how that goes. That's all I'm going to say.
I want to ask you so many questions about it, but I know that you don't want to reveal that information just yet. So I will try to hold off as best I can.
What percentage are you through?
I have it's six issues, and it's all outlined. So it's all, like, I'm writing, basically, I'm just nervous about script writing right now and trying to make sure the story plays out in a way that is, because in from comic to comic, you do have to, like, I highly recommend Animal Man by Grant Morrison, too, because there's a whole issue where the writer actually is a character in the book. In a DC comic book, the writer is a character. And he talks about that you have to sprinkle in certain amount, a percentage of action in a book to make it interesting. But not every comic book has action in it. So how do you keep the reader, like, paying attention as you go? So I'm trying to figure out what's my version of that in this book, because it's not an action-oriented book. So we'll see.
Yeah. Very cool. Sam, I was going to ask you if Understanding Comics is available as an audiobook, but now I'm thinking about it and you probably need the illustrations to make it make sense, right?
Yeah, because one of my favorite elements in it is when he starts talking about the different ways different cultures have adapted, like, illustrated graphic novels. And also, there's a great bit in there in the first chapter of even trying to describe what a comic is. Like, when he's, like, trying to be like, it's not a picture, but it's not literature, but it's also not a film. So how do you figure out what it is in between all of that? And it's a very specific type of thing. But anyways, there is a moment where he starts talking about the way the arts evolved and how in Japanese manga the books are way thicker than in a United States comic, because they allow for longer moments where people are silent and you're able to live in the scene, like a lot like an independent film, where you're able to feel like the emotional weight of certain scenes more. And it's cool that he even demonstrates it with his own art style but using Japanese manga within the book. It's very cool.
Yeah, he's a cartoonist and a comics theorist. That's like what a sick thing to be.
It's a cool name to come up with for yourself.
Comic theorist. Yeah. What a legend.
That's really awesome. Thank you for putting this on our radar. This is really cool, and it's not something I would have stumbled upon otherwise.
What's really interesting as well is that the first...
No, we lost Sam.
All right. Well, then I'll tell you. We've got a little technical...
Well, they can't see you yet either. Hold on, time out. Let's see if we can get Sam to call back in. There we go. Everyone's going to be in separate spots, but at least I have faces on the screen.
This is my show now.
What happened?
I'm the guest.
Oh, wow. All right,
Sam, for the rest of this show, I'm now the guest, and you are co-hosting with Trisha, or you have to be me, and I'll be you.
And we have Amy in.
Hello.
Perfect.
So, Maude, you were saying one last thing about this comic before we go into Bombs Away Q&A. What were you saying about Understanding Comics?
Understanding Comics came out in 1993, and then Making Comics came out in 2006. So there's been 13 years between the two. So that's like what's really fascinating for me, what he's learnt in that interim. And obviously, like, if he was an expert the first time, just how much more he'd learnt in that time. So that's...
I can't wait to read that. It's coming on Tuesday, and I'm probably going to finish it in about 3 hours because I read real fast. But I do take notes when I read his books, because it is like a class. I am learning a lot, and it's all just also, since we all work in the entertainment business, the way that he analyzes the different ways that you can tell a story, it's really inspiring.
I love that. And the chat was like, how cool is it when someone who loves the thing talks about it? That passion is so resonating. Yeah, I dig that. Amy, you are back. It is time for Bombs Away. This is our Q&A section. What kind of questions have we got?
Well, just make sure that you guys watching right now on Twitch, leave us some questions here down below. So this one is actually from a Geek Bomber. This is over on our Patreon. This is from Seb_X. How much time a week do you spend playing, watching, and reading? What's the usual percentage between each one of those?
Sam and I just both went, oy!
It's a lot. It's a lot.
This is a safe space.
Per day or per week?
Let's say per day.
Oof. Go, Sam. Go.
Does reading to a tiny human count as time reading?
Okay. I say yes.
I want to tabulate, but I want Sam to answer first.
So daily?
Let's break it down per day, and then you can extrapolate to the week. Thank you, Adam. Yes.
So am I breaking it down per thing? Like how many hours am I playing? Oh, God. Currently, with the quarantine, I'd say playing 3 hours a day. This is a lot. It feels like a lot. Watching, to be fair, the work I'm doing right now, I have stuff on in the background, but I'm going to count it. So like 5 hours a day watching something, but it's not really, it's passively watching. It's like stuff to just kind of fill up the room, the sound of the room. And then reading, I read before I go to bed. So that's like an hour. That's like reading.
I need to do that. I need to start reading before bed instead of just like playing more Animal Crossing.
I had to switch to do reading because I kept playing it. Because I was like, I got to catch tarantulas. I got to get them so I can sell them the next day. I got to get more money.
I haven't even seen one yet. I'm playing minimum an hour, but when I had a day off yesterday, and when I have like a day off and it's like I dedicate sort of like that day to gaming, you're looking between sort of like 4 and 8 hours of gaming. Watching, I do watching for work. So I am watching between 1 and 3 hours per show. So that's 15 hours a week minimum. And then reading, I listen to my books. So I'm doing like between half an hour and an hour walks a day, even longer. So that's when I'll be doing my reading. And I've started listening before going to bed. So I'll get out a chapter as I'm drifting off.
Nice.
Yay.
I'll do the maths for that one.
For mine, it's a 3-2-1. So 3 hours playing, 2 hours watching, and approximately 1 hour reading. And that's all of that reading time is not for me, by the way. All of that reading time is to my tiny human because we're doing preschool at home. And that involves a lot of reading. Plus he gets books. When he wakes up in the morning, he gets books before nap time and he gets books before bedtime. And his favorite day, since we brought up Neil Gaiman so much today, his favorite book is by Neil Gaiman. It is a children's book by Neil Gaiman called Tuesday, and it's about a sneezing panda.
Oh, that's cute.
Yep.
That's super cute.
Bringing it all back around. It's very cute. But all my reading is for him. Playing, I play games when I stream, which currently Final Fantasy VII. And my watching, after little dude goes to bed around 8, I can stay awake for approximately 2 hours of TV time. And then I crash. And that's my day.
But what time do you get up every morning?
6:30.
Oh. Ooh. When was the last time you guys saw 6:30?
Oh. When was the last time I got to sleep past 7? No, three years and some change ago. How old is Logan? 3 years and some change.
Seven? You don't. I had to wake up a couple of times at 3:50 a.m. for work, and when I get flights. But like, 6:30 is people's wake up time in the chat.
I see Italine in chat says ew 6:30. So definitely not 6:30 for you. But also, we're potty training right now. So if I hear little footsteps at 6:30, I better leap out of bed and make sure that we sit on that pot. Otherwise, I'm leaping out of bed to clean up a nasty mess that I don't really want to clean up. So it gets you out of bed real fast.
I went to vomit today. So isn't that right, Zelda? Did you have a little scoo-scoo all over the carpet?
Yeah.
Good girl.
This next question is from a Twitch viewer right now. STS2884 asks, are any of you watching My Hero Academia?
I watched like the first 3 episodes. I don't know why I stopped. I guess I'm struggling with short form content.
Okay.
It's like
I watched the first 3 seasons because Hulu has all the dubs, and people are going to yell at me about subs or dubs. I don't care. English voice actors they have are really, really good for My Hero Academia. And season 4 just aired, but they don't have the dubs yet on Hulu. It's only on Crunchyroll, and I ain't buying another streaming service. So I'm going to wait until those come and I'll watch it. But that show is awesome. Really like it.
What is it on? What channel?
Hulu.
Again, Hulu. That's why I'm like, Okay.
Hey, shish. Oi. Okay, I'll give you my login.
You're convincing me. I need to. Actually, I think Hector Navarro, good friend Hector Navarro, hit me up on Twitter today and was like, remember, if you got the Disney Plus package deal, you might have free Hulu. And I was like, oh my God, you're a genius. I have to look and see if I have that. Mm.
I'm not doing it right. I have like 7 different services. And I have like, HBO and Hulu and Disney Plus and Amazon Prime and Netflix and CBS All Access now, because I had to get a show for that I have to get also like all of them for Quibi because I have to watch it all.
Plus Quibi.
Plus Quibi.
Awesome. Yeah, but you get the first 90 days for free, so everyone should sign up and watch my mug every day. Yay.
All right, Amy, thank you so much for being our question queen for Bombs Away Q&A.
I love that. Question queen.
Yeah. Bombs Away Q&A question queen. Amy, thank you so much as always for being lovely and gracing us with your presence. And Sam, thank you for being such a stinking delight.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate doing this. I've been popping on these shows, especially this show. It's just been a nice little bright light, because I've been hanging out with myself a lot recently, and it's just nice to talk with people, catch up, make sure everyone's doing okay. So I appreciate being on here, and it's a pleasure.
And Sam, don't say exactly where you live, but you and I are geographically close together now-ish?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, good. That's what I thought. Just double-checking. So when this quarantine lifts, we'll hang out.
Yeah, we're close. It would be the easiest. We'll come over and say hi. Even if we're scared to, like, hug and high-five and stuff, we'll wave.
Perfect.
I also want to know as well, talking about reading and your recommendation, because it's one that has really piqued a lot of interest. Let us know in the comments if you're going to read that book too. If this is something that Sam has sold you on.
Please, that'd be really cool if you guys read it because I recommended it. I'd feel good about that.
Yay.
I know. I love recommending things that I know people will watch, and I'm responsible for like making their day better because like they've discovered something. But also you have Comic Book Club. Tell everyone where you can watch Comic Book Club.
Live Thursdays on Periscope, just Twitter, Twitch, or YouTube. Just search Sam Basher on any of those. I might just start narrowing it down to YouTube because it seems like the most popular place. But 1 p.m. PST, you can join and just keep an eye on my Twitter for announcements for what we'll be reading. And then also last week, I tested out calling people on Discord and having them come on and like review the book with me, which was actually pretty cool. I had some people who were watching live. I got their handle and we brought them on. It was fun. It was really cool. So please join me Thursdays, 1 p.m. PST.
Perfect. Good little plug. Shishi, when are you going live next?
The next time I will be live is tomorrow with Naked Truth. Roxy Stryer is going to be my guest on Naked Truth, which I very rarely do guests on Naked Truth. So this is going to be a very special episode. And that is tomorrow at 11 a.m. Pacific time on my YouTube channel. When are you going live next, Maud?
I will be on Quibi every Monday through Friday for just 6 minutes, because I go through all the things that are currently out, and basically the amount of shows that are out there, I tell you ones that are good and worth watching. So if you need recommendations, I'm your gal. As far as going live, Amy, we just do this.
We do this. Yep.
Yeah, we do this.
Live.
That's it. Fridays are my live days.
That's a perfect segue to, if you enjoy Power Up, make sure that you tune in next Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific time right here at twitch.tv/TrishaHirschberger if you want to catch it live. And if you cannot make it live, don't worry, because it'll be available on all the podcast outlets over the weekend. And then on Geek Bomb if you want to watch the video version just after that. So thank you guys all so much for watching and listening to Power Up. You're amazing.
We'll catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bingo, bye-bye.
All right.